This week on Happy, Sad, Confused, Will Arnett on Arrested Development, flaked, and being my mortal enemy. That's not you, Sammy. See, you thought you were my mortal enemy.
That's why I always like when he's around. I feel better.
Hey, guys. My name's Josh. That's Sammy.
Hi.
We do the little intro for this fun old podcast where I get to talk to silly, smart people like Will Arnett.
I love Will Arnett.
What do you love him from? What's your basis? Is it Arrested?
Arrested.
Yeah. Everyone, no one frankly knew who Will Arnett was. I think he would admit to that.
Yeah.
Until really Arrested. And
Arrested in 30 Rock. I love him in 30 Rock.
Rock. He was great.
Yeah.
He's one of these people that just makes me laugh. He's just like a naturally, like his way is very dry and.
I have a question.
Yes.
And I think the listeners will probably wonder.
Yeah, you're speaking on behalf of the.
Speaking on behalf of the other side. Do you guys have a very contentious relationship?
Right.
How did that happen?
So to clarify, it's not based in reality.
No,
we love each other deeply on a profound level.
Every time you interview him,
it's the last years. I truly don't remember where it began. I think arbitrarily decided that there was a past transgression that we were angry at each other for. To the point where we would I've run into him on the streets of New York and basically had an exchange like, fuck you. You know what you did. and then keep walking.
But what if he really thinks you did something?
No, having had him on the podcast, I can tell you, I think we're okay. Hey, if you're going to have.
But you guys have this longstanding bit.
I think it's fun to have. Let's stretch this out for decades.
Yeah, let's do
it. I want someone that I can build a true.
Yeah, but he always walks in the room and sees you and he's like, oh.
it's totally true. Hey, I'll take it. I'll take it from the likes of Will Arnett. He has a lot going on as always. He has season 2 of Flaked, which is on Netflix right now. Really his baby. He co-wrote, I believe, every episode. He's an executive producer on it. And it is a very – it's an interesting it's comedic, but it's not like the out-and-out comedies that you associate with Will Arnett. And I say this often, I feel like on the podcast, but I always appreciate when actors and filmmakers are willing to take chances and push their passion projects, and this certainly is one. So support Flaked on Netflix. It's now in season 2. He also has The Gong Show. Do you know what The Gong Show? I'm curious. Do you know what The Gong Show is, Sammy? It's way before your time.
No. I know it now because I've seen all the commercials for it. And it's like, oh, the big British host is going to be on it. And I'm I don't know him.
Do you not know who the host
is? I didn't know him.
Wait, you literally don't know who that host is?
I literally didn't know who that man was.
This is hysterical.
This is
No,
this
it truly
is hysterical. I have no idea who that was. I had to look him up.
Wait.
I saw Will Arnett and I was like, oh, that looks good.
But wait, you don't know that the host of is a character that Mike Myers is playing?
No.
Okay, I just blew Sammy's brain. I think it's Tommy Maitland, I think, is the cat. And, well, what's scary is you said you looked him up, which is really your Googling skills suck.
I looked up the show.
Yeah.
And I never saw anything about.
I love that so much. Oh, sweet innocent Sammy.
Why is Mike Myers doing that?
Mike Myers is doing a full-on new character. The interesting thing, we actually don't.
Oh, my God. To go.
The promo, it's interesting because the promo material is about the show, and even talking to Will, we didn't really talk a lot about The Gong Show in this conversation.
You are freaking out right now.
But they don't talk about it. They don't acknowledge that it's Mike Myers, but it's Mike Myers.
Are you sure?
I'm 190,000% sure. Yes.
Are you sure? Yes. What if it's Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of that Tropic Thunder character
in there.
Guys,
we got to watch The Gong Show.
So, okay.
This is awesome.
Okay, so yeah, so The Gong Show. And by the way, The Gong Show, which
Holy
the history.
Shit.
The Gong Show was a show, I think back in the 70s. It was a weird kind of variety show. Chuck Barris, who later they did that movie about him. George Clooney did The Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
I was like, oh, they brought the original host back from the old show.
She's not hearing anything I'm saying because she's still in
her. I'm reeling. Yes, the 70s.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, so it's a variety show hosted by a character that Mike Myers has created.
Holy shit.
Okay, so. Look forward to that. I think that's premiering, I want to say June 22nd.
Does Will Arnett know?
Yes. I hope so. I'll check in with him.
Did people know?
Okay, Sammy.
Okay. all right, this is going to be so good. This interview is going to be so good.
And yes, of course, we talk a bunch about Arrested Development. How can you not? One of the classics of our time.
Truly.
And they're going to do a season 5, which I'm very excited for. I know season 4 had its kind of like divisive kind of reactions. I still loved it. By the nature of it, it was a different kind of a feel. But those characters, those actors are genius in the writing, everything. So I'm very excited that they're getting the band back
very
together.
Excited.
Yes. So yes, while Sammy
lies on the floor
collecting herself, enjoy this conversation with Will Arnett. Go check out Flaked. And yes, The Gong Show, hosted by a guy that's played by Mike Myers.
You just spoiled it for everyone.
Well, I think it's an incentive. Now people are going to be curious to check it out. I'm curious.
I'd like people to let us know if they knew that or not.
Okay.
Actually, don't.
No. Tweet at me, Joshua Horowitz. Mm-hmm. I never say this stuff, too. That's a good reminder. Tweet at me. Let me know what you're enjoying, who you want to hear on the show. Mm-hmm. And yes, rate, review, subscribe. Tell your friends,
RRS.
Guys. Come on. Mm-hmm. Spread the good word of Happy Sad Confused. Those reviews do matter, so your support is appreciated. And now the main event, Mr. Will Arnett. Played by Will Arnett, not played by Mike Myers.
Okay,
just
that
so
was
know.
My next question.
Remember back in the day when Midtown Manhattan really meant something? It doesn't mean as much anymore.
We're joined by Will Arnett, who's talking about the importance of, what were we saying?
Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
When people would say, yeah, and they have offices in Midtown Manhattan, you'd be like, oh, well, this is quite an operation they have. Now you're like, great.
Yeah.
Who gives a rat's ass? So does Trump.
He's soiled. I've noticed that you've become, and as have I, frankly, on social media since the election.
Mm-hmm.
I've become much more politically active. Have you as well? Have you become more engaged?
I guess so. My stuff is more. It's less. I try less to like preach as just to kind of and more point out the hypocrisy and some of the absurdity of what we're living in, truly absurd times. You know, I was just listening. To that Comey testimony.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Yeah,
as we tape.
I was getting that Comey shit. You know what I'm saying? Testifying.
You want to just watch it together and we can just comment on it live?
I'm going to get it. Yo, man, I just got that tattoo. Comey for life. And they were talking about the idea that Comey confirmed in no uncertain terms that the Russians had indeed tried to compromise our elections in 2016. It was something that everybody kind of knew and or suspected,
sure.
But he actually said it in a very sort of official way. And yet everybody was much more concerned about what all this Trump stuff, as we all are, because it's very important. And one of the senators went back and said, did the president ask any questions about that? Like, did he follow up and say, what can we do to stop this? The Russians have attempted.
quick follow-up.
Yeah. have attempted to influence our elections to it, and they've attacked all these. And he said, no.
Nah, didn't come up. Nah, wasn't interested.
He didn't fucking care. All he cared about was whether or not he was under investigation. So it feels like it's incumbent upon me to just kind of shed a little bit of light on that if I can.
I agree.
And then I'll also put out a lot of like photos of Trump, like doctored photos and stuff where he just to make him look even more foolish,
well,
which is hard.
It's not hard. And I think it brings us a little small degree of joy just knowing like most, you know, presidents in the past, A, wouldn't have the time or interest of looking at that stuff, and B, it wouldn't bother them. But we know that kind of stuff does bother him.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you know what? Maybe it is worth putting up a doctored shitty photo of
it
him.
It is. There's
because he might actually see it.
I know.
And make him feel worse about himself.
That's it. And that's the thing. I want him to, there's that off chance that he'll take a look at it and it'll enrage him.
Basically, we're just hoping that he blocks you, which is inevitable. We'll see. Man can dream.
I don't know, man. Thank you. I appreciate the compliment. I don't know if it'll ever happen. But
there was no formal introduction, but it's a pleasure to have you in the podcast studio, especially considering I feel like any hero is only as good as their villain, their greatest mortal enemy. And you, as we know, you're my great mortal.
I'm a hero and you're...
No. You're in my territory now, man.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know how it started. We began like a rivalry like a year or so ago where we started to decided we hated each other.
I remember it was at Comic-Con.
It wasn't. It was before Comic-Con.
You're right. It was before Comic-Con. See, that's why we are...
You hate me so much, you don't even remember why you hate me.
That's the key. That's because I know that that will enrage you. And so I'm not even giving it, you know, any... I'm not giving it the attention that you think it requires.
Have you in your past ever had an actual mortal enemy? Have you ever had a rival? Have you ever had somebody that you felt like that guy?
Nah, I don't know if I've ever had. I have had a few people over the years. Yes, I've had a couple of people whom I did not like a lot. And
what pisses you off? What is there a common characteristic in the people?
Yes, it's that they're sort of duplicitous and liars, and it's actually this is not a way for me to plug my show Flaked on Netflix, but that's kind of what led me to want to create the show. Was there were a couple people who I was. It came to sort of as a real shock to me, I guess, that I discovered that they weren't who I thought they were. And I thought, wow. And I realized how much energy they spent kind of keeping all these plates spinning to create this persona for themselves that everybody saw. And I decided it takes a lot. And so I kind of... The character of Chip was the first thing that I ever sort of wrote with regards to Flaked. And I remember I was flying to London and I just started kind of sketching out this character based on a couple people whom I was not necessarily rivals with, but whom I had sort of grown to have a...
You resented the hypocrisy of what they stood for.
Yeah. And... that's how the show started. I started looking at people and saying, and including myself, by the way, the face that we show the world and the face that we look at in the mirror when we brush our teeth at night, or take them out and have them brushed for me, as is in the case with me.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a different podcast. That's for a different show.
We'll get into that your grooming techniques I want to hear everything.
I had all my teeth knocked out 4 years ago, so and they're all false.
I also admire, but I have to say, just this is really apropos of nothing, but just looking at you and your wonderful comfort with chest hair that I don't have.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a ton of it.
Yeah. Does it just stop right there at the? Because you're about three buttons down.
Yeah. Because that was the only place when I taped it on, like glued it.
Mm-hmm. it's part of the dental team. They also do chest hair.
It's amazing.
That's good.
No, yeah, yeah. I run hot. This is a true story.
Yeah,
I run hot. So I
tend your sweater. To, you're a
I
Schwitzer.
What's that?
Schwitz.
I don't know what that is.
You're sweating. You sweat. That's all. I'm a Jew. Hi.
Oh.
Have you ever met one of us?
Is that Yiddish? You know what? That's offensive.
What?
Josh.
That's not offensive. I just don't know if you've ever met a Jew.
I've lived in New York since 1990.
Oh, New York's all Jews. That's what a non-Jew would say.
Listen, I had an office in Midtown Manhattan.
The center of it all. So you sweat.
I sweat a lot. Yeah, I do schwitz. So I find my, you know, I don't wear socks.
You don't? Look at that.
I rarely wear socks. Can I do this?
Yeah, of course. You're putting your feet on the table right in front of me. It's not a rude thing at all.
Is it a table or is it a wheel that collects cables from the bottom of the ocean? I mean, you know what?
You should have
Pick
seen
a
where,
lane, Horowitz.
I used to do the podcast in my shitty little office. So at least, look, this is like professional. We've got like
engineers, nice.
Producers, sound things on the wall and microphones.
Nice. Yeah, sound things. hold up with all the tech talk, man.
You taught me some mic technique already.
I got my
when
lawyer
you
here with me, by the
He's
way.
He's not your lawyer. That's not a true thing.
Okay. Well, in my mind.
So we were talking about, the public and the fake faces that we show the world. Is that endemic? I mean, it's for all of us. I have that to a degree. But is it more tied to your sordid industry than most, you think? Or
It can be, for sure. It's funny, It's one of those questions you get that I seem to get, especially from people I grew up with or friends that I had who will say, who aren't in the biz, in the biz industry, as I call it. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, what's so-and-so like?
Right.
You know, you get that all the time. You've met and you interview lots of people. And I'm sure people say, what's so-and-so really sure. like? And there are times when you go, that person's terrible. They're a terrible person. Really? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there are a couple of people who are like, oh, yeah, yeah, they're a terrible person. And a lot of people know that. And the public adore them. You know, and their persona is the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's always interesting. But to tell you the truth, as I started working on the show and I started sort of writing the first season with my partner, Mark Chappell, a.k.a. Chappie, which you get it why, because his name's Chappell.
Oh, I thought it was a reference to the movie, the classic movie.
Chappie.
Chappie Love Flaked.
But by the way, I love you just did that. I want to get that. When that movie came out, he was so exhausted by us just leaving messages going, Chappie.
It's the new Jar Jar Binks of our time.
So he, as we started writing this character, I started identifying with some of the things that characteristics that Chip had, and I was like, well, maybe I'm guilty of that too. And you start, you know, none of us is perfect. Certainly, I'm not, and I know for a fact you're not.
I know where you're going. No, come on.
Well.
So when you started to have to, for instance, become like a truly public person and start to do the talk shows and publicity and stuff, did you find that – was that something that either you thought about consciously, like I have to portray myself a certain way? Do you have to create a – or was it just sort of like what you see is what you get?
Yeah. No, I've been much more what you see is what you get kind of person. You know, the only sort of times I think where I was reserved was like the first time I did Letterman because I was so nervous and in awe of him. One of my idols, and driving idols because he got so many speeding tickets.
Right.
But I for the most part, I try to keep it. I've always tried to kind of keep it pretty real.
Yeah.
Or on a real tip, as I'm.
Is that what people say?
No, I'm loath to say that.
You've got. I'm curious, actually, like for something like Flaked, because in watching it. It's not the kind of thing that I'm guessing that would have been offered to you. Like, no. How much of it was like you talk a little bit about why you created it and what you were kind of the issues you were wrestling with, you and Chappie. Sorry, I'm not going to be able to do it. Not do that. But how much of it was also like, oh, I'm going to create something that wouldn't come to me. I need to create material if I want to do different kinds of things. People see me a certain way. I'm going to need to create my own material.
Yeah. That was a big part as well, for sure. It's a lot closer to the kind of stuff that I think that I originally wanted to do when I started as a younger actor. I didn't start in comedy, in sketch or stand up or any kind of comedy, and I wanted to be. I was young enough that I thought that I wanted people to take me seriously, so I gave a shit about things like that back then, I think that I wanted to doing a show like Flaked. Yeah, it was not something, especially coming off, you know, the first thing that the first job I had that got me any kind of notice was Arrested Development, and then after that I had a few things, but it was always within the realm of comedy.
Right.
And I knew that I wanted to do something a little different, and I wanted to do a show also, the kind of show that I would like that was just kind of dry, that it. You know, we're not trying to be too cool for school, and we're not trying to say, hey, look, these guys live this life. Isn't it rad? We're trying to say it's kind of absurd. And in season two, you know, we took a lot of hits. Season one, you know, people were saying that we were glorifying these older dudes dating younger girls and stuff. We're like, no, just bear with us. It's slow, but that's the vibe out there. We're going to take them all apart. And that's – we're not saying it's cool. We're just saying that this actually exists.
That's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. And I wanted to do a show that wasn't necessarily a comedy or a drama or I'm not trying to compete with anybody else. I'm not trying to create my own genre. I'm just trying to be genreless.
Right. So here's the chicken or the egg question. Did a midlife crisis spawn Flaked, or did Flaked spawn a midlife crisis?
Wait, I didn't know I was having a midlife crisis.
Oh, sorry. No, no. I mean, I'm not going to delve like you know heavily into the season one stuff, but you obviously you've talked a little bit about sort of like how it, you know, some issues did come up in the course of season one
for sure. And I don't know. You know, that's it's a funny one. I'm not sure exactly which came first. I think I probably wasn't as prepared as I should have been for what kind of an impact it would have on me emotionally.
Right.
Doing something like this that was so close. Look, it's not my story per se, but there were a lot of things that were in there that came from me, and I think that it probably that combined with a lot of different things sort of led inevitably to where I, you know, making some decisions that I ultimately wish I had done differently.
So what are the mechanisms? How do you, when you go into season two,
yeah.
you obviously don't want to go down that road again. So what did you do to kind of like...
I was pretty honest about it, my situation. I was really only, I was honest about it in a public way, in a way that I'm not, generally I don't like to get into that aspect of my life too deeply
sure.
in a public way. There are certain things that I think that can remain private in this world, which is, I know, odd.
How dare you? Yeah. We own you, Will.
Exactly. You show a picture of, people share a picture of like every meal, every cup of coffee that they're having. So fucking weird when you go to a coffee place or something, you see people and they get their coffee and the first thing they do is they snap a picture and it's like, who gives a shit? Fucking gives a shit. I want to knock the coffee out of their hand and take their phone and throw it in the fucking river. Stop it, Lewis. I will fucking kill you if you take a picture. Lewis is with me. He's not my lawyer. You're
no,
right.
No, that's your alternate personality. Yeah. Lewis, there's nobody else in the room.
Lewis.
There's nobody here, Will. It's literally just us.
I'm not going to holler and tell him it's dinner.
What were we talking about?
I think that you know, I learned a lot. And like anything in life, it either as my son said to me the other day, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." He's embarrassed to admit he likes that Kelly Clarkson song. it's really cute, but it's true. And so I think I learned a lot. And Chappie and I were talking about. We knew that season two, that Chip needed to go kind of even further towards his bottom, but we knew that he was going to ultimately, we needed him to kind of start looking for the daylight.
Totally.
And that was important. And I think that the season is also a little, there are some heavy moments, but it's also lighter in a lot of other ways. There are a lot more laughs and stuff. And I was just kind of more prepared for it. You know?
Sure.
I think I just got probably lazy and less diligent in kind of understanding my own shortcomings. I know that you know I had a lot of shortcomings.
No,
if I'd asked you,
well
you would have been like,
yeah.
you would have been like.
When people ask me what Will Arnett's like,
you're
to
like
go back to, you're like.
It's just a list of shortcomings.
I prepared this list. Take a look and just sit in awe that he's able to function day to day. You have a lot going on. You have Flaked. You have The Gong Show.
That's kind of like a long way of saying like you got it going on.
No,
is that what you're trying to?
You got it going on, Billy Arnett. Does anybody call you Bill, Billy?
No. Yes, actually, I do have a few friends
really?
Called me Billy. Yeah.
Okay. Will.
My real friends call me my real friends, but a lot of my close friends.
The ones I care about, the ones I value.
My close and family call me Willie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stick with Will.
Yep.
I don't think we're there yet.
No, we're almost back at William. So.
Mr. Arnett. But you've got a lot going on.
Sure.
You have a couple shows. You've got an app, for God's sakes. You've turned it.
Yes.
You're like a Kardashian. You have like, you're a
Thank
brand.
You. Thank you. You're like a Trump. Oh, thanks.
My point is,
yes.
You're more than just a man.
Yes.
You're a producing behemoth.
Were that only true.
But it does feel like your ambitions are varied these days.
Yeah, I kind of just want to do stuff that seems fun. And I've been saying that for a long time, and then I end up doing a few things that aren't as fun, but I keep, that's kind of the goal. You know, we're doing The Gong Show, and that was something that I thought, hey, that'll be a lot of fun to do. Just kind of a real check your brain out and have a few laughs. And we got a lot of people to come and do that. And that was a really good time. And we got to produce it, and it was a different, you know, I produced, my show, Flaked and also BoJack, but this was a different kind of gear.
Yeah.
And producing a show like this, a variety show, was very different. And I got to do a lot of hands-on producing, which was interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's a test. I'm very curious to check it out just by even just the people you brought in. I mean, you know, it's not like Zach Galifianakis is going to show up on, like, America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this sounds interesting.
No, yeah. We got so many great, fun people that you would like and or do like, and Fred Armisen and Will Forte and Sandberg and Maya Rudolph, yeah, and Liz Banks and I don't know if I'm allowed to say, and Jack. Well, Jack Black. Yeah, I thought I already said Jack. No, but Jack. Jack is hilarious. Jack almost killed Jen Aniston. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention her, but Jack almost killed Jen.
Oh, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, with the mallet. And I said to Jen, right after, I said, listen, obviously we all care about you and love you, but if you were to die on this show, that would be
really good for us.
For,
yeah,
me.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
so just keep that in mind. Thanks.
There are five other friends. We're fine.
Yeah,
I mean,
Courtney's here, and you know.
So what did you want to be when you grew up? If I talk to you for some reason, if I'm talking to a 7-year-old,
sure.
What was the dream, or even a little later as a teenager?
I think as a 7-year-old, I probably wanted to be the starting goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs hockey team.
Sure.
Yeah, that was my goal back then. I think that when I was, I think when I was 10 or 11, I thought the world was going to end. That was a weird phase for me.
Oh, it's come full circle. Here we are again.
I went through this whole apocalyptic phase, and it was just very.
Was that the nuclear arms race? Was that tied to anything? Or
yeah,
just like
it was just like. 81, it was 1981, and you know, Reagan was shot, and I just thought, you know what, this is, forget it. It was the Berlin Wall, and you know, I just didn't
look good. Yeah,
to the Iron Curtain. You know,
luckily now we live in optimistic times.
Of
where,
course we do, yeah. But you know, these were dangerous. Trying to figure out a way to shoehorn in the phrase the Benelux countries, but I couldn't.
So, well, you just did.
Thank you.
In a very obvious, odd way.
But I think that once I was about 12 or 13, I did my first play, and I thought, oh, this would be fun. I don't know if I ever really thought at that age that I would be able to do this as a profession.
Yeah.
I probably thought that I was going to end up living under a bridge. I got the feeling that my parents thought the same thing.
Oh, it's nice to have that kind of confidence,
yeah,
at home.
And then, you know, it wasn't until I was about 19 or 20 that I decided that I was going to come here. And I moved here to New York when I was 20. And I didn't know anybody. And I was going to go and take acting at Lee Strasberg. And I couldn't – I don't know. I just thought – at that point, I was like, I got nowhere else to go.
Right.
Eggs are all firmly in one basket. This better work. You know?
Now
and I bought a Ferrari.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I just thought, you know what?
Commercial money or something?
No,
okay, sorry. Well, okay, here's something you probably don't want to talk about, but I did not know this about you when I was reading up on you.
Straight.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I won the office pool. Great. Okay. But wait, were you married to Penelope Ann Miller?
it's funny that you should mention. I'm guessing you get Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was. Briefly. Briefly. Can I talk about that?
Well, I mean, I don't need the dirty details, but it's just, here's what was curious to me.
Yeah, I was a very young man.
Well, like, because you didn't have ostensibly a career going in any way, and she did. Like, I mean,
yes.
Like, I had a crush on Penelope Ann Miller when I was young, and she had just done, like, Carlito's Way in that
That's
time
right.
frame, which
That's
I
right.
loved. And
yes.
How did you guys even meet? How did you?
Mutual friends at Naked Angels, which was a theater company back in the 90s in New York, which was amazing, and a lot of amazing actors came out of there and directors, including, you know, Kenny Lonergan and Matthew Broderick and
sure.
Sarah Jessica Parker and Rob Morrow, and the list goes on. Incredible people. And so we had a bunch of mutual friends. And it's weird. The night we met, I was at a dinner. How did it happen? It was an after Robbie Bates, John Robin Bates, mm-hmm. who I've known for years and is a wonderful playwright and writer and an amazing guy, had just had a new play open. Gosh, I'm trying to think. And there was a dinner at, like an after party at Cafe Lou. Do you remember that place on 13th Street? I don't know if it's still there. And I was there with my friend and a couple people there from Naked Angels. And I was also with John Kennedy Jr.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I knew him a little bit through a friend of mine. Not well, but we hung out a few times. Huh. And he was, by my recollection, a really cool dude.
Yeah.
So we were kind of hanging out, having a little bit of dinner. And then Penelope was there. And she just happened to be there. And, you know, she was a good friend of my friend and kind of knew John a little bit, too. And
you know. Clicked for a brief time, and
one of those weird things that just kind of came and went, you know.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So in the years, because like there were a number of years, obviously, between that kind of time period and like kind of the mid '90s and Arrested, which is like the first time that most people saw you and knew who you were. Mm-hmm. Like, what percentage of those years were you actually making a decent living? Were you happy? Were you gainfully employed? I know you went through a bunch of pilots, but like, was it, when you look back on that, like 8-9 years, was that like a happy time, a frustrating time? Was like, or what?
It was all those things, you know. It's funny, again, one of the reasons I made the show Flaked was because it doesn't reflect those times, but I didn't want to make a show. I've said this a lot. When you wake up in the morning, you don't say today's going to be a comedy day or today's going to be a drama day. It's all a bunch of things happening at once. And those years were just that. I you know, that was late 94. That next summer, I made a couple indie movies. I remember everything chronologically for reals. I can remember what I did any month of any year.
Really?
Yeah, starting about the age of like 18 or 19.
So June 2001?
June 2001, I was in L.A. My sister and my brother-in-law came for Memorial Day in Los Angeles. I was living in Venice, and then later that month, I came back to New York, and we went up to Massachusetts.
Are you have like that Mary Lou Henner thing?
I don't know
like where it's like you can like.
I don't know the dates, but I know exactly.
That's
those.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry, I interrupted your train of thought, but like so. It's everything. Obviously, it's everything. A long period of time, and there are ups and downs.
So,
and
yeah, I did a couple of movies, and then they, you know, you think, like, this one is going to be the thing that gets me this, and then nothing. But through that, I was lucky because I started doing voiceovers, and purely by accident. And that allowed me, it afforded me the opportunity to not have to work in a restaurant. A lot of my friends worked in restaurants or had various jobs. I didn't have to do that. And it was great. And I started making
real money.
Real money.
Yeah. Did it make you less ambitious? Because like now you could kind of like rely on that. And
I think it did. Yeah. I do think it did for a couple of years. And that is one of the reasons that when I was 30, I decided like, oh, hang on a second. I'm getting complacent. And I've got to, what am I doing? I've been living in New York for 10 years now. I kind of kicked my own ass and said, get your shit together. And it's one of the reasons I sort of sobered up and all that stuff. I wasn't living under a bridge or like a degenerate or, you know, I didn't go to rehab. It was just more about not doing the stuff I needed to be doing.
Yeah.
And any kind of
not just letting life pass you by and just sort of actually engaging in the things you wanted to do.
That's what all that stuff does. Makes me make bad decisions and just lay on the couch and kind of drink too much and get hungover and just go, fuck it, I'm not going to do anything. Right. I didn't want to live like that. It's depressing to me. And I realized I was letting everything go by. And yeah, so it was, but it was a strange time. And it was, you know, New York in my 20s, which is great, and I did have a lot of great memories for sure, but I did feel like I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing.
And were you able to, because I had this conversation with Tony Hale when he came in here as well, and he's been really open about like, you know, how Arrested again was like this huge moment, and yet bizarrely he wasn't able to really enjoy the moment. I mean, he did enjoy it, he enjoyed the cast, that obviously it was he mentioned that. He did not mention that.
You know, Tony.
But getting caught up in that, like, were you able to enjoy that experience?
100%. You know, it's funny. Tony's wife worked as a makeup artist on and off at SNL, so I knew her a little bit. And Tony kind of through that, when we auditioned for Arrested, I was here. He was already there. We flew out around the same time, I think, and I, because I was living here, and I flew out to audition to have my final test And then got the show, and then the next day basically stayed, and we started rehearsing and started shooting, and like my life changed that day. And I went through it with Tony, and Tony and I were staying at the same hotel right around the corner from Fox, what was then the, I don't know, Intercontinental or something. We walked back and forth to the studio to do our tests and stuff, and our lives changed. Because I think I had been in New York, I don't know, I can't remember Tony's story exactly, how long he had been here before, but I'd been, you know, I'd been living in New York for 13 years at that point, on and off, you know, between New York and California. I appreciated, first of all, from moment one, once we started shooting the pilot, how different it felt, how the chemistry was unique, and it was really, everything kind of clicked just in a very different way. And so I did appreciate it. And once we started shooting the show, every day I would go onto the lot. I remember making myself remember these moments.
Sure.
Not for moments like this, but just for my life.
Yeah.
Driving onto the lot, taking my parking pass out, putting it on the you know, the magnetic thing, putting my window down and doing it. And actually at Fox, they had a guy, he was really enthusiastic for a couple of years, who would take it for you, and he'd swipe it, and then he'd go, and he'd wrap it up real quick. He did like a whole dance thing. It was kind of like, he was just like doing a bit.
Sure.
But he was really into his job, and so was I. I appreciated it every morning. There wasn't a morning that I drove onto the set of Arrested Development where it felt like it was work, ever. And I remember saying, take it in, appreciate it. And I appreciated every fucking moment that I shot that show. And Tony Hale is a piece of shit for saying otherwise. No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you not appreciate what we had?
You son of a bitch. I love Tony with all my heart.
And one of the cool things, I mean, you know, you allude to this, but like these kind of experiences don't happen often. And certainly like the relationships, both personally and professionally, you were able to forge. I mean, you know, you had, I don't know if you still are producing stuff with Jason, but he's obviously a close friend, Jason Bateman. Mitch is a producer on Flaked. Yeah. That's unusual to say the least.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Tony's been busy on his show. We would probably do more stuff if he wasn't. He's kind of in his own. He's got his crew, that gang. But, you know, Mitch and I, after the show, stayed on and did, with Jason, we did a brief animated show called Sit Down, Shut Up. And then we did, Mitch and I did Running Wild, and we created that with Jim Vallely. And then we did Flaked, and we've done a bunch of other things in between. I've done commercials, on camera stuff, and Mitch has come on and helped with those. And
right.
You know, we've stayed really close, and we're close friends. And he's an important collaborator for me, and Jason is too. We did all this stuff at Dum Dum, and we're not really producing stuff anymore together, but I see him a lot. We talk a lot. I was just with him last weekend. You know, it's our kids get together with us, and we also recognize that, you know, there's a moment we were at a friend's house, and the kids were all swimming in the pool together, and Jason's wife looked at me and she's like, "Can you believe this?" And I was like, "I know, it's pretty crazy."
Yeah.
And then Jason started screaming. Jason can't swim, and not a lot of people know this.
Oh, so yeah. It turned into a thing. It was actually not a happy memory.
It was a terrible.
Is he okay? Is he?
No, and it turned out he was just trying to. He wanted me to give him mouth to mouth, which is like a.
That's a fucking weird way to get to that.
Really,
just ask a friend, like just.
And he was like,
and in front of your kids.
And in front of my kids, he's like, "Save it with the tongue, do it with the tongue." And I was like, "Why would that save your?"
Are you creatively involved, speaking of Arrested Season 5? Are you talking to Mitch about his own – like, is he kind of in a hole right now writing, or are you kind of in the writer's room for that, or what's
– I have been.
Yeah.
And I think that I'll probably return a little bit. It's been tough just because of other stuff I've been trying to do with Jabby and –
Thank you.
It just
makes me happy.
You would adore Chappie. He's one of the funnier people. He's so fucking dry.
Yeah.
He's the punniest person of all time, too. And he does it really slowly, man.
It's all in delivery.
Yeah. But yes, and it's a really fun. You know, I kind of knew Mitch had an idea of where he wanted to go this season a long time ago at the end of that last season, season four, which I was also in the room on for a little while, and it's going to be very satisfying, I think, for the fans this season. Without giving anything away, it's important that we kind of keep that under wraps.
Sure. Is he still going to recut? I know. So the season four was kind of divisive, right?
Like, I mean, inherits it all. Oh shit. Why did I?
No, you were so close. Like, we were moving on. I literally was moving on.
I know, but my ego took over, and I needed to be liked in that moment.
Well, it's something to look forward to. But I know, like, there was some divisiveness around season four.
Yes.
Particularly because of the structure and the way you had to shoot it and the necessities of that.
Yeah.
Is he still going to, like, recut it chronologically? He talked about doing that.
He already has.
So we're eventually going to
see
that?
Well, yeah, eventually. There are a lot of issues surrounding why that can't. And or hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
Having to do with lawyers. But, you know, I know there were a lot of people who didn't like season four because of the way it was, and because that everybody had their own episodes. And if you go back and you watch those episodes, and you will.
You're ordering?
And you will.
Okay.
I hope you'll go back.
It's
That's what the president said to Comey.
Right.
Yo, Comey for life.
No, that's by the time this airs.
No. when does this air?
This airs right before the Gong Show premieres, I believe, in two weeks. Yeah.
Oh.
By now, the nation is feeling Gong Show fever.
Gong Show for life. Is that safe?
Sure, that's fine.
What was the question? I don't even remember.
We were talking. Oh, the season four, and I think what you were alluding to is it's the complexity of it is very rewarding.
Yeah, I think if you go back, you know, there was a guy, one of the reviewers, I think a guy from the Washington Post had said initially, you know, they didn't send it out for reviewers,
right?
And so people just, you know, their initial reaction, it was very highly anticipated at the time, if you recall, and some of the early reviews that came out were withering. And then this, including this guy from the from WAPO, as I call him, and then the next week, the guy said, you know, I went back and I rewatched, and I have to say, I was wrong.
Yeah,
the complexity is outstanding. This is potentially the most ambitious comedy ever made. This is like the Ulysses of comedy.
Yeah,
and I appreciated the James Joyce reference.
Well, it's interesting. You've kind of had that experience a couple times in different ways. Even BoJack at first.
Yeah. Panned.
Yeah.
And there were a few people whom I was psyched about who were reviewers who were really especially shitty about it because I know they're trying to get clicks.
Right.
So they have to say – they have to be as shitty as possible.
Yeah. You can't be in the middle. You can't actually have a nuanced complex.
No, at all.
Right.
It's got to be super shitty to get clicks because if he doesn't get clicks, then he loses his job.
Will Arnett, the worst fucking guest ever on Happy, Sad, Confused. or the best.
We'll
decide for the end.
Will Arnett blows the roof off this dump in the best way. And by the way, I should just say as an aside, by dump, I don't mean this place is a dump.
Well, you were kind of alluding a little earlier that you were saying the table is like a wheel that collects cables. So, I mean, we have that on tape.
For this building, it's very cool. You know what I mean?
There's an aesthetic we're going for.
You're here. You're in this building. Do the fans know where you record that you're at Viacom? Can I say that? Viacom. Doesn't that sound like, hey, you know what? What are we going to call the company? Let's just put it into the computer and see what the computer comes up with. Okay, we'll toss a couple of media and TV shows, and we did this. And
right.
And what does that say? Click, click, click. Viacom. Okay, good.
Good enough.
It was like the old phone company, 9X.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Remember 9X?
9X, of course.
We're all connected. New York telephone. Now, Josh, let me ask you a couple of questions. Now you're on the hot seat.
Well, you are a talk show host. When I saw you at Comic-Con, you were hosting.
That's right.
A recent guest hosting on Kimmel. So clearly you want my job all over the place.
Well, no, I don't. But I just said I was doing an interview with somebody. I mean, I know it's hard. That's, you know, like, honestly, it would probably take a monkey like 15 minutes to learn how to do this. You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting. Because at the beginning of that sentence, it made it sound like it was...
Rim shot. I could do a fuck. I would have done
You should bring a gong
shot.
Along with you.
No, but I was going to say... where are you from? Are you from this?
I'm a New Yorker, born and bred.
City?
I grew up in New York City.
Cut it out.
I have no driver's license. I'm a 41-year-old man that is not a functioning adult.
Wow.
I've never lived anywhere else.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You probably could not live anywhere else now.
Well, Uber has saved my life.
Of course.
So I could.
If you go to Los Angeles, you use Uber.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about getting your driver's license?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
I'll pay for you to get your license.
Will you teach me to drive?
I'd love to teach you how to drive.
Can we do that?
I don't mean this in any kind of like, you know, Raymond. I'm an excellent driver.
Classic
reference. Raymond,
I thought you were good. Everybody loves.
No, Raymond, burn the baby. Raymond, burn the baby.
82, 82, 82, 246.
Yes.
We're doing all Rain Man references this week. It's perfect. we're wearing matching outfits.
We are. Wait. What? I'm Tom Cruise, right?
If sure, you get to be Tom Cruise. I just interviewed Tom Cruise the other night for the Mummy.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How? I love it. I love Tom Cruise.
Me too.
He's so positive.
Well, it's funny you say that. So, like, we did Happy, Sad, Confused photos, yeah. As I always do.
And they're all the same.
He couldn't not smile. I couldn't post the others because
he's like, what's sad?
Incapable of sadness. Chappy, love Tom Cruise.
I love Tom Cruise. He, you know.
Have you ever met Tom Cruise?
I have, briefly.
Yeah.
I was at this thing, and Jimmy Kimmel said, you want to meet Tom Cruise? Literally like that. I went over, yes, I want to meet Tom. He's like, come here. I went over and shook his hand. I love his movies. I love those, the Mission Impossible movies.
So good.
I love those. But years ago, Tom Cruise was doing the questionnaire. He was on Inside the Actors Studio with James Lipton,
uh-huh.
whom I knew, I've got to know from Arrested Development.
Right.
And so I saw him do, it was after our first season, and Tom Cruise was on, and James Lipton was beside himself. He was so giddy. And Cruise asked him the questionnaire, questions. And clearly, Mr. Lipton.
He has that ready. He's got that.
I mean, they were locked down. he pulled out tablets. They had been etched in stone, and he asked them a question, and his answers were terrific, amazing. So about a week later, we were in Los Angeles for our first ever Arrested Development Emmy bait reading session, and James Lipton moderated after, and it was very strange. Cross going to be there, and Jim Rash had to sit in. For Cross and Reed, whom, do you know, Jim Rash is actor, writer.
And I'm sure
yeah,
I do.
Amazing, the name hilarious guy. Yeah. And that was late July 2004. True story. So anyway,
show off.
I know. And so we do this thing, and James Lipton goes along the cast afterwards just to do a brief version of the questionnaire with everybody.
Sure.
And he gets to me, and the question is, what profession other than the one you currently do would you most like to do and you know and why or whatever what profession do you think you could do? And I just seen the week before his answer, and I gave it back to him exactly what he said, and I said, that's easy, dancer, but with one proviso, that I'd never get injured and I'd never get old.
How did he react?
And I remember to this day him just kind of like looking down and going like this.
Small little.
It was the fucking greatest. It was such a great. Lewis, you were there. It was at the. Lewis was with me.
Lewis is not in the. There's no one else in the room. Will
right? You got that right, Lewis.
Would you? It's interesting. So Tom Cruise. So like speaking of films.
Yes.
What's the film career? What lane do you want to have in film? Because it's a tough kind of road.
Any lane.
No, but seriously, because the film work you've done.
Yes.
And by the way, your work in Popstar was excellent.
Thank you.
I truly mean that. The TMZ parody was hysterical.
Thanks.
But like, has it been tough to kind of find like what your lane is?
And for sure, it's been very difficult. And you know, very recently, I've joked many times. I said, if it wasn't for bad films, I wouldn't make any. But you know, it's much more difficult, and it's much more difficult now. You know, we live in a time that, for the most part, unless it's a big franchise, it's very difficult to get films made. And you know, in terms of comedy, there aren't a lot of films that comedically that hold up because it's difficult because the process of making a film is so arduous and takes so long that it completely defeats the spontaneity that with which you you need to make a comedy.
It's interesting. So I literally – we just had Jake Johnson in the other day.
Yeah.
And he was telling me – he's a very funny guy, obviously. And he was talking about Let's Be Cops, which, mm-hmm. like, made money, did well. And he was like, it was a miserable experience. Like, we had, like, Keegan and, like, Riggle and, like, the funniest people on the planet.
Yeah.
And it just felt like going through the motion – something in that process it killed it.
It took forever.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's it. I remember making Blades of Glory years ago, and you know, Will is so funny, and we had such a great cast, and Amy was amazing
yeah.
and hilarious, and we fought against that the whole time. We were constantly like, "Come on, let's go!" And Will Speck and Josh Gordon, who
right.
become great friends, and we worked together, and they worked on Flake last year, and you know, they understood that we weren't being like dicks. We were like, we got to keep it moving. You got to keep it fresh. Comedy relies on that. That's why there's so much great comedic TV.
Sure.
Because the pace is inherently just
yes, quick. Yeah, you have
yeah.
to.
I do think that's a major problem. But there are films that I'd like to make, and there are stuff, you know, now there are a couple things that I'm working on that are much closer to what I want to make, and hopefully those things come to fruition.
Did you have more fun on the set of G-Force or Jonah Hex?
Well, G-Force was really fun. It was because Zach was in it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so Zach and I fucked around a lot. And it's funny, it didn't end up being a great movie. Of course, it was a kid's movie. My son loves it, and he got a lunchbox, a G-Force lunchbox.
Nice.
And I kind of felt like he was trying to like he was taking the piss out of me.
No,
like, is he fucking with me?
Earnest love.
No, he legitimately loves it, which is sweet. And so,
does he have a Jonah Hex lunchbox?
Jonah Hex. Look at the cast of that.
Amazing.
Josh Brolin.
Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender. Michael Shannon.
That's
John Malkovich. Me.
Well, that's,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But you should probably shouldn't be
so,
able to say
I
that.
I mean, I should have led with me. So, like,
best intentions.
Will Arnett joint. By the way, yes, best intentions. That was a crazy movie to make.
You made it a couple times. It sounds like
it was a bizarre. I remember somebody telling me. Somebody told me the last day they were in there. It was in New Orleans, which was so hot and obviously, and we're wearing all these costumes and stuff. It was very weird and disorganized, and people were wandering around. It was the last day, and then people were. One of the second ADs was like crying in the parking lot. And I'm pretty sure Joshua told me this and said, like, what? Because I'd gone and said, like, what's going on? I said, oh, one of the dudes was like, oh man, everybody's on mushrooms. Like, the whole crew was on mushrooms. And that's just the way it was just crazy.
Wow.
It was just like insanity, man. And of course, you can't get anything done.
It was like the making of Apocalypse Now, except Jonah Hex came out of it, except instead of Apocalypse Now.
Yes, that's right. I had a lot of funny. There were some funny moments in that. Josh Brolin is such a funny guy.
He's hysterical. I mean, he's a very unique, crazy guy.
He's so awesome. Apart from being a great actor, I just love him. I just think he's just such an excellent dude. And I remember a couple of years ago, I live right around the corner from here. I'm not going to tell you where, so relax.
Sure.
And
I'm just going to follow you.
I was walking up Hudson Street, and I had dinner with a friend of mine. And I was at the corner of my street, and we're talking, and all of a sudden I hear somebody go, hey, kind of come up the corner and go, hey, Will, and I go, hey, man. And I turn and I keep talking to my friend, and he goes, Will, and I go, yeah, man, how you doing? And I keep talking, and you know, he goes, Will, it's Josh. and it was Josh Brolin, and I go, oh, shit, man, sorry. He was wearing a coat, and it was dark out.
Sure.
And he goes, do you for real... Do you for real not recognizing me? And I go, dude, it's dark. And then my friend was like, even I recognize it was you, and I don't know you. And I was like, I was so embarrassed. He was really funny about it.
He almost played Batman, you know.
Did he?
I did not know that. Yeah, he was literally, it was like him and Affleck were like he was like the other one that was supposed
to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
What's, I think he would have been amazing, by the way. I mean,
yeah.
And Ben's good, too, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, of
but,
course.
What's the, is there a Lego Batman future? Honestly, I really adored that movie. It was a really smart, funny movie.
Oh, thanks. I hope so. We're working on the sequel to the Lego movie right now.
Right.
But there are a couple ideas kicking around for Lego Batman 2, and I hope it happens. So we'll see. It's too early to really say definitively, but I think it would be something everybody wants to do.
Yeah. So what's is most of the stuff that you consume now in terms of pop culture according to what your kids are into?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And there are a few things that I love that my kids are into. You know, I don't mean like, first of all, I don't mean fidget spinners.
I haven't, yeah.
I have a couple, but I do. But
any on you right now?
Not on me.
Okay.
Not on me. I'm not holding. But but they, I was like, God, fuck, why didn't I think of inventing that?
What's the
just like, I need to be reminded that I'm dumb.
Are there actual games to do with it, or is it literally just to do tricks with them?
I've had friends who come over because we have a bunch and $2 right. So, you know, you just, I'll have friends go, that's a fidget spinner? Yeah. What do you do? Just grab it and then they go like this? Yeah. And then what? That's it.
You can go the other way if you want, I guess.
You know what? Justin Thoreau stole.
I thought you were about to quote Thoreau. Yeah. That it was.
Once said.
Fidget spinners.
A man. Justin Thoreau stole one of my son Abel's fidget spinners. Well, he didn't steal it per se.
Makes sense. He's that kind of guy.
He kind of pocketed it. And then the next day, he was like, I think Justin took my thing. And so we texted. I was like, hey, did you take? And he sent a picture of it in his garbage.
What a piece of shit.
I know. What a total dirtbag.
He knew where it was.
Yeah. He put it in the garbage. And then he was like rubbing it in. And my son is 6.
That's how much he hates you.
He's a
maniac. Transferred the hate
and I'm like,
to your children.
I wish he hadn't been left over. You know, I wish he had departed.
That's a good one to watch with the kids.
They love it. My kids love Departed. They love Game of Thrones.
Right.
They love the 50 Shades movies.
What else? You should really.
Oh my God.
Father of the year.
Can you imagine? My kids are like, they did say to me last week because it was the big finale, and they were like, we're all going to. Anyway, I said, they're like, what's Departed about? I'm like,
A Leftovers, you mean?
Oh, sorry, yeah, Leftovers. Yeah. What's the Leftovers about? I was like, how do I explain this in a non super terrifying way?
There's no way. Yeah. There's no way. Congratulations on all your success. Everybody should check out Flaked Season 2 now on Netflix.
Yes.
You've got Netflix. We know.
Streaming.
It's streaming. Do you feel it streaming by you now?
It's constantly streaming.
It's just there.
Yeah, because I've been through this before. Not right now because I'm wearing these headsets, but for the most part, I'm wireless. I'm completely wireless.
You're not tethered.
No, so people are like, oh, this place, it's wireless, it's wireless. I'm like, hey, motherfucker, I'm wireless up in here.
Okay.
So, we got to go. We got to go. I got more. I'm going to do a real podcast.
Is your fake friend talking to you again?
I'm going.
What's quote unquote Lewis saying to you now?
Get me on Marin again, because I want to do a quick compare. I want to do a back to back.
You know, briefly, listened to the Marin.
Oh.
And I was so. I mean, he's. I think he's the best in the business.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, oh fuck, he did the definitive Will interview. Like,
you
there's
think so?
Nothing left to do.
You know what? I didn't mention that I knew John Kennedy Jr.
Nailed it. It's good to see you, buddy.
You too, man.
Congratulations on everything. Everybody, check out Flakes. Check out the Gong Show.
Gong Show up in here.
All right, calm down. I was doing it. That's too far. Now they don't want to watch it. Just watch it, guys.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.
This episode of Happy, Sad, Confused was produced by Michael Catano, Mukta Mohan, and Kasia Mihailovich for the MTV Podcast Network, with additional engineering by Little Everywhere. You can subscribe to this and all of our other shows on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you find your favorite podcasts.